We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In, you know, of course, what's so 2020? It means it's November and it means it's Masters time. Why not? To talk about the Masters, we bring in Mark Canicero from the New York Post. He was there in Augusta, and he is also the author of 7 Days in Augusta, a new book out this year. And I'm guessing, Mark, the book probably suitable for holiday gifts.
It definitely is, Laurie. It came out the month before the Masters was supposed to be in the spring, and but yeah, it's kind of a timeless book about the, you know, just about the 26 years I've covered the Masters. This was my 26th just now. It's just all, you know, all the things I've seen, you know, there over the years, and you know, on and off the golf course. It's kind of a cool. I just try to bring the reader to the Masters week that I've been lucky enough to been to for the last 25, 26 years.
And you know what? I definitely think it's something I'll put it on my holiday reading list, because one of the things I always appreciate is the way you tell stories at the Masters and take us in with you, kind of behind the scenes as well. And so this is truly a year like no other, not only the Masters in November, but no fans there, all of this. So what will you take away? You've covered now 26 of them. What will you take away from Masters 2020?
Well, it was a bizarre week with no fans. And obviously, the town, which I write about, is, you know, transforms for that one week. You know, it's like the Super Bowl's in the same place every year, so to speak. And it just was really strange, you know, the main drag, you know, Washington Road where the golf course is on, which is kind of a honky-tonk road. I think we've talked about on the show before, you know, usually bustling with people peddling their wares, so to speak. And it was just, you know, there was never traffic on the road all week, which was strange. And honestly, walking around the golf course all week, and particularly today for the final round on the back nine, to be out at Amen Corner when the leaders are going through and not hear, you know, those roars, you know, rattling through the pines, you know, the pine trees back there, it was just strange. I mean, it was really weird. I mean, it was like watching somebody's club championship with a smattering of, you know, family and friends, you know, following along. They didn't even have ropes. You know, normally the golf course, all golf tournaments have ropes to kind of keep the fans outside of the playing area, so to speak. But they didn't even have ropes, which was really almost disorienting. It was just kind of it was a strange week, but you know what? At the end of the day, the golf was compelling. It was a tremendous leaderboard all week, and there was a proper winner, you know, with Dustin Johnson, who was ranked number one in the world and had some demons to overcome a little bit with his failure to close in majors. So I think we were all, you know, I know the players were, and I certainly know the people like myself that were lucky enough to be there, and I'm sure the people that hung all day and, you know, drank some frosty beers on their couch and watched it on TV, we're all thankful it took place, even though it was in November and a few months late.
Yeah, look, the golf course obviously played a little differently because it is November and the weather and the situation of it on the one hand. On the other hand, Dustin Johnson shoots 20 under. And so describe how he played this week. And as you mentioned, the demons of a guy who has, you know, number one player in the world, had won the one major previously, never won a green jacket. And so at what point were you certain this is going to be Dustin Johnson's tournament and the demons are not going to get him today?
Well, I don't mean to, but I will blow some sunshine up my butt a little bit. And then I picked him in the New York Post to win at the beginning of the week. But that said, the guy's ranked number one in the world, so it's not like I was rolling out some sort of crazy pick. But the guy is in contention, Lori, every time he tees it up. His last four Masters, he's had a tie for sixth, a tie for fourth, a tie for tenth, and last year he was one of the runners, tied for runner-up, to Tiger. So, and beyond that, he's won four times in 2020. I mean, the guy is, including today. So, he is in contention. He's the most consistent golfer probably that's out there amongst the big guys. He never really has a flame-out week. And I just felt going into this week, he'd kind of done everything at Augusta except win a Masters and have a green jacket slipped over his shoulders. And, you never know what's going to happen, but it didn't surprise me at all. He was in contention. But as I referenced, and you just referenced a second ago, he was 0-for-4 in closing out 54-hole leads in major championships. And that had become a little bit of a bugaboo. In fairness to him, the fourth one was the PGA Championship in San Francisco this past August. And he had a one-shot lead going to the final round, and he shot 68 in the final round, and Colin Morikawa just played lights out and won the golf tournament. But so it wasn't like John Johnson blew that. But he's blown his share. And for him to come away with this and do what he did today, and it got a little dodgy early. He was playing tentatively early, and the four-shot lead going into the day was down to one after five holes. And he on the sixth hole, he stuffed his shot on a par 3-6, but 5 feet away, made the putt and never really looked back.
Yeah, and then there was that stretch, I think it was 13, 14, 15, where he just sort of turned up the screws, I think, on the rest of the field and was just playing such smart golf. And I think it was it 13 where he made the decision to lay up? There was a little mud on the ball, and even just, it seemed like a combination of brains, brawn, temperament, kind of all coming together today for him.
There's no question. After the round, spoke to his coach Claude Harmon III, and he referenced that because what were we talking about going into this golf tournament? Everybody was talking about Bryson DeChambeau,
right?
And King Kong that was going to just dismantle Augusta National, right? And Dustin Johnson, by the way, was probably the longest hitter on tour before Bryson gained 40 pounds of muscle and went into the laboratory, so to speak. But what Claude Harmon said was, he laid up on 13 and 15, the two par fives that most guys are going for at two.
Mm-hmm.
And he birdied both holes anyway. Because he, by the way, he's got an amazing short game, and he's putting lights out. So, Claude Harmon said four or five years ago, he gets rattled by the early tentative start and losing most of his leads and probably does not win this golf tournament. But he has matured and developed and got a lot more confident, and it showed today.
Talking to Mark Canasero from the Post about the Masters and not played in April, played in November this year. Dustin Johnson, world number one, and getting that first green jacket. And one of my producers, Paul Rosenberg, huge golf fan, and Paul said to me earlier this evening, we were talking about Dustin Johnson and the emotional reaction afterwards and how he was crying to the point of unable to get through the post-tourney interview, so emotional. And Paul actually said he was Dustin Johnson usually seems like a cyborg. He usually seems so composed and calm. Were you surprised about the reaction?
Lori, the dude is borderline catatonic. I mean, he shows no emotion. And I wrote in my column for tomorrow's Post, it almost sounds like sacrilege to say because the guy went out and shot 68 today and played, tremendously and won a green jacket. But I actually found the post round ceremony, mm-hmm, and the way he reacted more compelling than I found the golf, because mm-hmm, the golf, we just kind of put the whole place to sleep, but with how efficiently and beautifully he was playing. But none of us has ever seen that kind of reaction from him. I was standing greenside at the practice putting green when Amanda Baleonis from CBS was was interviewing him. I was standing about, you know, sitting right next to Tiger Woods, actually, who just slipped the jacket over his shoulders. And I was like taken aback. For a second there, I actually thought that there was like a technical issue with CBS and they had to stop the interview for a minute or something. But it was Dustin that was stopping it because he couldn't get the words out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he went down and spoke to his afterwards in the main press conference. And he said he's never found himself at a loss for words like that. He just couldn't. But it just shows you, to me, and that was the point of the column I wrote for tomorrow, was the fact that this guy, we all view, like Paul, like you just referenced, your producer, we all kind of viewed this guy as kind of this like robot, you know, who doesn't really, well, just kind of is so chill. He doesn't really care if he wins and loses. It just, you know, whatever, you know, kind of thing. And I thought that what we saw today really showed how much this guy does care. And I can tell you, the guy works his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much talent as he has, and it seems like he's a guy that could just, you know, throw the sticks out on the first tee and shoot 65. I mean, the guy does work like crazy. And I think the emotion he showed there showed how much he does care. And I thought it was fascinating. I mean, really, it really made the day to me to a large degree.
Yeah, when I saw that level of emotion, and, you know, for those who didn't see it, he was so choked up and, you know, just crying to the point of had to keep stopping himself and composing himself. And finally, they stopped the interview, CBS, because he couldn't get words out. And
yeah,
I was struck and thought, beyond just, you know, how hard he's worked, which she asked him about, and all of that, and the people in your life and all of that, I also, it struck me as, you know, here's a player, if we go back in his history, who also had that period of time with substance abuse and stepped away from the game. And, you know, almost you have it taken away from you, and then you come back and you put this together and you're world's number one for so much time. But you just wonder, are moments like that, are all these things kind of combusting in his head?
I'm sure they were. I mean, Paulina Gretzky, who is his wife, was standing off to the side, as was his coach, who I referenced, and some other people on his team, including his brother, who's his caddy, by the way, which is a cool story in itself, because he was ridiculed for putting his brother on the bag. Because, you know, I'm like, why aren't you having a professional caddy? And, well, you know, who's getting the last laugh now? But, he's got through a lot of stuff. Dustin Johnson was a pretty significant partier in college and probably shortly after college. And now he's married. He's got a couple of kids and a little more different perspective and maturity. And there's no question about it. I mean, I think you hit it on the head. I think it all came crashing down, so to speak, in his head and his heart when he was, you know, it was all kind of becoming reality that he won the Masters. This is a guy that grew up an hour away from Augusta, Laurie, you know, and had never played Augusta National until he first qualified to play in the Masters. And so him and his brother used to, you know, beat balls over at the local dirt patch driving range into the evening, to the point where Dustin was telling us the other day, you know, he was the one that was turning the lights off when he left.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a cool story, you know, but that's not like the cool, heartwarming story we see Dustin Johnson as generally, right? But, listen, he's gone, like many of us, has gone through different phases, and he clearly was, you know, I know from speaking to people who went to college with him, he was a pretty heavy-duty partier, but I think he's really prioritized and gotten his stuff together, so to speak, and you look where it's gotten to him. The guy's won 24 times on the PGA Tour. The only two guys that are active that have won more than that are Tiger and Phil. I mean, that's pretty significant. You know, this guy's a consistent winner. And now, you know, that he's picked off a Masters, you know, maybe this enhances his confidence the next time he's got the 54-hole lead.
Well, I was going to ask you, that was my next question, is, so what does this mean for the number one player in the world now winning that second major? It's been a few years since he won that first major, like 4 years ago, I think. And, you know, now he's got this Masters, and really it was a wire-to-wire, very dominant performance. Does this quiet some of those voices? Do you expect him to go on a run of majors?
Well, I definitely think it changes the narrative for him to a large degree, without question, Laurie. Now, I'm pretty bad at predicting these things, because I remember dating back to when Davis Love won the PGA Winged Foot in 97, you know, uh-huh, thinking that was going to open the floodgates for him, and that ended up being his only major that he won. But the other thing is, it's a different game now. These guys, and there's so many good guys, you know, it's much harder now,
right?
I think, because of the depth. But, you know, we all thought, it's so cyclical, right? We all thought Kepka, a year and a half.
Right?
We didn't think Kepka was ever going to lose another major, right? And now Kepka's an afterthought for the moment, right?
And Jordan Spieth. And remember when Jordan Spieth was going to win a million of them?
And, exactly. And even when DJ, you know, won his U.S. Open, we figured, okay, he's going to go on a career. But listen, he is in contention almost every time he tees it up, as I referenced it. And because of that, and because of this win, I think, you know, and he even referenced it today in his interview with us afterwards, that he thinks this could lead to a lot more for him because, you know, when you do this, you know, you have your drawback on it, you know. And even when he won the U.S. Open at Oakmont, there was some calamity at that one, if you remember. I remember there was a rules infraction situation. The USGA completely botched it, and, you know, where they felt like his ball might have moved before, after he addressed, you know, a putt, you know. And anyway, the point is, this was convincing, you know, and I think that this will absolutely, it can't help but enhance, you know, his confidence the next time he's in this situation. And he's going to be in this situation again, trust me, because he's that good.
Talking to Mark Canizero from The Post about the Masters. He's there live at Augusta covering it for the week. And, you know, one story we have to mention, I know you wrote an article about it for The Post. It's online right now. But just because I don't even know how to describe it, it's so unexpected. But Tiger Woods, you mentioned Amen Corner and the fans usually there and all the noise and hoopla that's down there. Tiger Woods, how do you describe, he shot a 10 on one hole. A 10 on one hole. I mean, it reminded me of Tin Cup.
Well, it was definitely a Tin Cup moment. I mean, it really was. And the incredible irony there was the fact that we're talking about number 12, the par 3 at Amen Corner, where he took this 10. That's the very place when the entire tournament changed. It, you know, turned in his favor last year when he won in 2019. You know, that was the place where Kepka, Tony Finau, and Francesco Molinari all hit their tee shots in the water. Tiger, you know, hit his on the green, and he walked off that green with the lead for the first time in the golf tournament and never lost it. And he ended up winning his 55th green jacket. So it's kind of a, you know, number 12 giveth and it taketh away, so to speak. Now, Tiger was a little, I don't want to say he was amused by it, but, you know, by the time he came off and spoke to us afterward, he was like, look, you know, golf can be a very lonely place, you know, because, he made it, what I thought was a good analogy. You know, he's like, you know, you don't have, you know, the manager's not coming up to tap you on the shoulder on the pitcher's mound and take you out and put a relief pitcher in. And, you know, you're not getting sucked out of a basketball game if you're 0-for-20, you know, shooting. You got to finish the hole, which is what he did. And it was ugly.
For those people who didn't see it, yeah. I mean, he shot a 10 on a par 3, so that's 7 over.
Yeah.
He hit it in the water 3 times?
Hit it in the water 3 times. Here's what he did. He teed off. His initial tee shot went into Rays Creek. He re-teed, hit it into Rays Creek again. I should say re-teed. He took a drop. Mm-hmm. Took a second drop, and then hit it over the green into the back bunker, had an awkward stance, and sculled his sand shot across the green and back in the Rays Creek.
That's
like us out there.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the thing is, he can laugh about it because, you know what, it didn't cost him the golf tournament. He wasn't in contention, you know, to do anything, really. He was just going to be in the middle of the pack. And here's what's incredible. He birdied 6 out of his last 7 holes to finish the round. He still shot like 70. He shot 76. He shot 4 over par with a 10 on a par 3, which is pretty damn good, and stayed under par for the golf tournament. I think he was 1 under for the week. So, you know, I mean, obviously there's no pressure on you to take a 10. Can't get worse from there, right? But, you know, it's that's one of those rare things you see. And the fact that it happened on 12, where he basically won the golf tournament last year, was shocking, you know?
So you wrote the book, and it was based on, it was supposed to come out in March. It was about your 25 previous Masters. And then the book comes out in March. The Masters is supposed to be played every year in April, so we think perfect timing there. Here we are with this crazy Masters in November, and where will this one kind of stack up as you think back on all the Masters you've covered?
Well, I mean, the greatest ones I've seen, you know, you have to go to Tiger winning in 97 and Tiger certainly winning last year. I would say Mickelson when he finally broke through and won his first major at 04. And I look at some of the collapses, like Norman, you know, collapsing in 96, you know, was unbelievable. But this is right up there with those without question because of the uniqueness of, you know, what we're going through. And, Frey, here's the weird thing, too, Lori. I mean, by the way, the Masters is the next major championship to be played, if it indeed goes on as scheduled, in April. It's 5 months from now. We're playing another Masters. I mean, how weird is that?
Well, that's true. You're the reigning Masters champion, and you're the, it's 5 months later.
So the next DJ, Masters. So DJ, crazy. Tiger ended up having the jacket for 19 months, and DJ's only going to have it for five.
Oh, it's very 2020, all of that. What a crazy, crazy year. All right, Mark Canosero from the New York Post. The book is 7 Days in Augusta, and safe travels home, and be safe flying, all that stuff, and the crazy COVID times we're in. Really appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori. Let's talk football next time. We'll talk soon on that.
All right, sounds good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.